Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Now, if news breaks in Panther Nation, there's a pretty good chance that Sheena Quick is on top of it. You can see her all over the place, 1340 Fox Sports up in D.C. You can catch her on the Pat McAfee Show, really everywhere these days. But again, I stress, if you don't follow Sheena Quick on Twitter and you're a Panthers fan, you're doing it all wrong. She's back with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. And Sheena Quick, it's a pleasure as always. How you doing?
I'm good, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing well. I get fired up for days like this because I love breaking news, and especially football breaking news, and I want to get there. But let's start here, because I know you're having fun with this NC State run right now. I know you are. I've seen you tweeting about it. I've seen you stressing about it. How about the Wolfpack right now?
How about the cardiac pack? Men and women, you know, let's not discount the women.
That's right.
Headed to the Sweet 16 also. It's a really, really good time for the program, for sure.
Oh, it's awesome. And I've seen you tweeting about it. And it is unfortunate, by the way, that the men and women have to play at the same time on Friday night. It's unreal that it worked out that way. But yeah, NC State fans can't catch a break, can they?
I would definitely be split screening it for sure.
Nah, I don't blame you. All right, well, let's get to the news of the day. I don't know if you saw this one coming. We've all been talking about it for weeks now, but you know, it was funny, Sheena. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Jordan Schultz was on with McAfee, and 10 minutes I think before the news break, he told McAfee that, you know, his sources were telling him that the Clowney and the Jets had strong mutual interest in getting a deal done, and within 10 minutes the news broke that Clowney was coming home to Carolina. What do you know about how it all went down?
And you know what? Sometimes it just happens that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a last-minute breakdown in negotiations. There might be some incentives in that contract that he did not necessarily like, and Carolina was more, you know, closer to what he was envisioning for himself, because he's at a place in his career where he does have the luxury of choosing where he wants to go. And so he very well could have been in deep, deep negotiations with the Jets and things fell apart. These things happen all the time, and I know a lot of people get pissed when it happens and they start, you know, discrediting people and things like that, but sometimes that's just how it shakes out.
No question. And I don't mean to cut you off. Like, Jordan's been on top of a lot of breaking news this offseason so far. So it's not about Jordan. It's just, you're right, these things can turn really, really quickly. And, I mean, to let you keep going on this, Clowney's coming off a really productive season in Baltimore, right? 9.5 sacks, 43 tackles. I think PFF had him as the 19th best edge in football last year. So I guess the question here is, in season 11, Sheena, what kind of player do you think they're getting here in Carolina?
I think they're getting a solid vet in Carolina. And I know that it's so funny that this sporting world makes us feel like 30-year-olds are old. But, you know, he's coming off of his best year productively, like statistically. And apparently he feels great. He feels the strongest that he's felt in a while. And he just felt like it was time to come home. But like I said, there's so many different factors that go into making a decision at this point in one's career. And a lot of people are wondering why he didn't run it back with the Ravens. There's no telling what the tipping point was. Maybe he wants to you know, thrive in Evero's system. Of course, he wants to be close to home. And so those things worked in Carolina's favor. But I do think they're getting a solid vet that will at least help, if not completely replace Brian Burns' production. Having two edge or having two pass rushers are what the Panthers were looking at trying to figure out in this offseason right after that Brian Burns trade. And it looks like they at least got one side solidified.
That's true, right? So they bring in, you know, Jadeveon, DJ Wonnum. Those two guys combined last year had 17.5 sacks. That's pretty good production, right? So the question that we've been chewing on today, and I want you to weigh in on, and we're talking on paper here, no doubt about it, but they traded Brian Burns, Frankie Louvu left, but they've brought in Clowney, Wonnum, they brought in A'shaun Robinson. Could you make the case today that the defensive front is better today on paper than it was at the end of last season?
I'm not going to say that just yet.
Okay, that's fair.
I can't say it just yet. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. And again, like I said, the biggest issues with that Brian Burns trade were not the fact that he was traded. It left five gaping holes on that defensive side of the ball as far as starters. You got to think about the secondary with losing Von Bell and Dante Jackson. Also, YGM is another departure. Like you said, Brian Burns and Frankie Louvu. And that was the bright spot of the team last year. So I don't want to just say on paper that they're automatically better than they were. I would venture closer to that if they can bring Stephon Gilmore home in the secondary.
Uh-huh.
If they add Stephon Gilmore, then I could argue that a little closer.
Well, and that's why I want to, you know, make that delineation between the defensive front and the defense mm-hmm. back to front, because I'm with you on that. Yeah. Now, what do you – because this is – I said yesterday when the Joe Person report came out that they'd reached out to Stephon, you probably were on top of that too. But my first thought was, okay, yeah, I'll take Gilly back in a second. I love that guy. But my second thought was, oh, then if they're pursuing Jadeveon Clowney, maybe this turns into a package deal. I mean, am I wrong to believe that this kind of clears a path for Stephon Gilmore to come back too?
It would definitely make a good storyline for sure. It would make a great storyline for sure for those two to reunite back here in Carolina, which is home for both of them. I think it would make a great storyline. It would be something that the color commentators can talk about during the game. I don't think that necessarily locks Stephon Gilmore into a return. 2 years ago, when he was after his only season with the Panthers, he wanted to come back home. He wanted to sign back with the Panthers, and we know how that ended. So the question is, 2 years later, with all of these changes, Evero wasn't here. You know, with all these changes, is this still a destination that's attractive to Stephon Gilmore?
That's a fair question. Sheena Quick with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. So I think you talked about this with Wes and Walker not that long ago, but now we've got more updates here. So I'll revisit the question of, hey, they've done a ton in free agency. Now we're looking at the draft. What do you think this means for picks 33 and 39 now that they've added that edge rusher and they don't necessarily have to go chasing one? Do you think this changes much?
A lot of people still want them to go after Hassan Reddick with pick number 39. There are reports to say that the Eagles are targeting a second round pick in a trade for him. So having acquired that second rounder from the Giants, they may use one of those to try to lure a Hassan Reddick. But one of those picks is definitely going to draft a wide receiver.
I would agree. Now, that I absolutely agree with. But
there's some good ones. It's a really deep draft. At that wide receiver position.
I'm with you, and I'm a big Xavier Leggett fan. I like Keon Coleman. I like some of these guys. Oh, yeah. But go back to what you said a second ago, because it's funny. We were in the midst of discussing that Hassan Reddick report and wondering, hey, if they miss out on Clowney, is this the right place to go? And then the Clowney news hit. You know, giving up more draft capital for a guy that you're going to have to pay at the end of this upcoming season, though, for Reddick, do you think that jives with the plan? Because it seems like Brant Tillis is being kind of conservative and making sure they're not tied up for years to come with some of these deals.
And he is doing a good job with the cap. He really is. He's doing a good job with the cap. And you know, that could be a factor. That could be a factor in them not pursuing Hassan Reddick. It just depends, or waiting a little bit closer to the draft so that they can, you know, call the Eagles bluff. The Eagles may not get a second round for Hassan Reddick. What if it whittles all the way down to, you know, training camp and they end up releasing him or something like that? So I don't think that it's necessarily something that they're going to push to do quickly or rush themselves to do. I think they're very patient when it comes to that, because they may end up not having to give up a second rounder and still getting their guy. So that remains to be seen. But like, when it comes to those cap numbers, I personally think that the salary cap is a myth, just based off what the Saints do every single season. They're always in cap hell, and they always end up not only not being in cap hell, but having room to spare. So I don't really jive too much when it comes to the salary cap. It's definitely a myth that can be manipulated for teams to be able to do what they need to do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. By the way, you are a Florida State alum as well. Do you have any thoughts on Keon Coleman as a potential prospect?
Love it.
You do?
Love Keon Coleman at 33. If he falls out of that first round because of that 40, fall right on into Charlotte. I think he's a playmaker. I think he's big. He's physical. And I don't place too much stock on the 40, because it's not often that they're going to be running unimpeded from a three-point stance 40 yards. You know what I mean? I was more impressed by, you know, his measurables when it came to the gauntlet, his in-game speed. I'm definitely pro Keon Coleman, and if the Panthers can get him with pick 33, I don't see how you would go in a different direction.
So
but again, it's a deep class. A lot of Ladd McConkey fans.
Oh, I'm one of them. I mean, I don't think he's at the top of my list right now. That's Xavier Leggett for me, but I think all these guys can go. They can play. There's no doubt about that. Now, since we're talking about wide receivers, they got Diontae Johnson in a trade that I thought was really good business by Dan Morgan. Even though Dante Jackson's gone, you get something for him and a guy who can play at that. But do you think this team needs another veteran addition to the wide receiver room, or do you think drafting a young playmaker would be enough for this upcoming year?
Do both. If you can do both, do both. If you can't, I think you draft some talent coming out of the draft. I mean, it's just, like I said, I can't stress it enough. This is a really deep wide receiver class. There's a handful of guys that I think would pair well with Canales and Bryce Young.
Hey, Sheena, I keep cutting you off. I apologize. I keep cutting you off like that.
I really like the Deontay Johnson addition with Adam Thielen. You know, I'm an Adam Thielen fan. He is a dog. And I think that with the two of them, I think it's going to be good for Johnson to get a fresh start, you know, to kind of, I guess, get rid of that negative, you know, off the field, locker room reputation that he's garnered. I hadn't heard anything about that until the Panthers got him. You know, some Steelers fans were kind of, you know, getting me up to speed with that. But I think that under Adam Thielen's tutelage and just a fresh start, that he could, I feel like Deontay Johnson can emerge to be that other vet for you in that wide receiver room.
All right, two quick things, I'll let you go. And I was anxious to ask you that and stepped on you again because I got a lot of fans that are texting in that are happy with what the front office is doing so far. And many of them are saying, man, yeah, it sure looks like David Tepper has taken a step back and is letting football guys do football things. Is that the way you perceive it?
It is. And I just never perceived Dan Morgan to be the type that is just a lame duck in that position. I knew that he was going to put his stamp on this team. And again, all the holes are not going to be filled in one offseason. All the problems are not going to be, you know, solved in one offseason because, Lord knows, 2-15, yeah. But I do think he's taking a step back, and I think that it's not only by design, but it's because of who Dan Morgan is. And I know I probably repeated this on every publication and every outlet that I've been on, but Dan Morgan is one of the only people in that front office that has experienced winning Carolina football as a player or as an executive. You know, you're down only three players in the locker room that have had a winning season at Carolina. So you need someone that knows what it looks like when the Panthers are successful. And I think that Dan Morgan embodies that.
Point well made. All right, last thing. You know the game. You also talk to a lot of players. Big news this week, two significant rule changes, right? An update to the kickoff adopting the XFL style and banning the hip drop tackle. What are your thoughts on these two changes? And have you talked to any players about that, in particular the hip drop tackle?
The hip drop tackle, I mean, it's very interesting. I get they're wanting to, you know, increase the safety when it comes to the game. But after all, it's football, and injuries are part of football. I'm not, you know, negating that or downplaying it or anything like that. But at this point, they're going to be playing flag football. Mm-hmm. Touch football. I mean, you got these big Derrick Henrys. Like, how else are you making that tackle?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be stiff-armed into oblivion. So I do think that now David Tepper did mention that when he, you know, hired Frank Reich, he said that, you know, that all the rule changes are being made in favor of the offensive players, and so that's defensive coordinators are having to get craftier, defensive players are having to figure out other ways to tackle. Shoot, like, it's just so many different things it's a dangerous sport. Violent sport, but that's the nature of the game. Like, people tackle. That's why you have a helmet on. That's why you wear a mouth guard. That's why you wear pads, because there's going to be physical contact, and you can only do so much to mitigate the risk factor of an injury. But doing away with that hip drop tackle, I think was, I don't know if it's something that's going to be revisited and, you know, revised, but it definitely makes it way harder on the defense. You already can't really touch the quarterback. You got to kind of lay him down gently on the grass. So, I mean, I don't envy those guys that have to figure out how to bring down these tanks of receivers, these tanks of quarterbacks, these tanks of running backs, and not being able to employ a method that they had been taught since Pop Warner.
Yep, I'm glad I don't have to do it. There's no doubt about that. Sheena Quick with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Sheena, always appreciate it. Always enjoy it. Go Pack. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.